A reading from Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold bought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one with 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Thank you, Simeon. So that's Simeon. So he's my number one grandson, because he was first. And he's 14, but I think he's got a birthday. You got a birthday coming up?
Wednesday.
Okay, I better make a note of that while I'm up here. Okay, just so I don't forget. So that's good. Okay. Let's just pray. Father, I just pray as you quieten our hearts and as we lean in to your word this morning, that your Holy Spirit will just speak to our hearts and to our minds. Father, you know exactly what's going on with us. You know the words that we need to hear, to be encouraged, to be challenged, and to move forward. So Holy Spirit, would you just guide and direct as we just look into your word this morning, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Ask for my first slide to magically appear. It's quite good because I can just say the word and it just appears. It's quite good. I don't need a clicker. It's all okay. So, Simeon, I hope in a little while you will maybe hear a little bit more from him. I'm going to ask him a few questions, and he might give us some answers, I don't know, but we'll see. So you've been going through parables, I understand, and we've got to the position where we're at this particular parable, the parable of the bags of gold. And I want to ask you a question right at the beginning of our service. So we've got the parable of the talent, sometimes bags of gold, exploring and using our gifts was the headline for this morning. But I want to ask a question. What has God entrusted into your hands to use for his glory and his kingdom? What have you got in your hands? What are you holding this morning? You say, I'm holding nothing. My hands are empty. Wow. Let's see. It's a challenge, isn't it? What are you holding in your hand? What has God entrusted in your care into your hand to use for his glory and his kingdom? What are you holding in your hands? You see, right at the outset of the sermon, I want to ask you and challenge you, what are your gifts and talents that God has uniquely given to you? Because you have a talent and a gift that no one else has. If you look around the room this morning, if you look around, we have people with talents of singing and being able to make music. But all around, each one of us uniquely has a talent or something that God has put inside of us to use for his kingdom. He's entrusted a gift just for you to use. Last week, I had a bit of a surprise. My daughter asked me if I would go to a painting class with her. Now, when I was younger, a lot younger, probably before I was married, I used to paint. I used to draw, and I used to love that sort of thing, and I would do it. But I haven't really painted or sketched much in the last 30-plus years. But Leanne is a growing artist, and she said, why don't you come and paint, draw a picture, do a scene, you know, let's learn together. So I went and spent several hours with this teacher doing this class. And at the end of it, I had a picture. And I looked at it and I thought, yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad, it's pretty good. I can see that's a tree. There's some branches and it looked pretty good. And I looked at her pictures that she'd done and she had them on the wall there and I thought, wow, she's good. I thought, I'd like that. And you know what it is? As you go nearer, so I went round and I had a closer look and I realised as I got closer I could see the different brush strokes, the different masks and it didn't look quite as good as if I was sort of going back here. And when I got home, I learned that lesson. I said to everybody, this is a distance picture. So if you look at it from about here, it looks pretty good. If you get too close, you see a little bit of the join and a little bit of the brush strokes, and maybe it's not so good. But here, it's fantastic. I was pleased. And it just reminded me that God had given me a talent many years ago. And I hadn't used it. I hadn't found any particular joy in doing that particular thing. But for a moment, it's been quite a busy period of time. I think my daughter thought that I probably needed to slow down for a bit and whatever. And in those few hours, I lost myself in just creating something and painting it and enjoying the process and of being present with me and the trees and the class of people. What's God put into your hands? What's God given to you? What are the things? You know when people, we're very observant, aren't we? We're very observant, we're quite judgy, aren't we? We like to look around and we make judgment. That person looks smart, that person's a great runner, that person's a great footballer, please tell Kieran. And we try and do all of these sorts of things, that we make judgments, we make decisions, and we say, well, that person's really good at that. Sometimes we act a little bit surprised, don't we? I've had that, and people say, why are you so surprised to say that I'm good at that thing? You know, sometimes it is a little bit of a surprise, isn't it? When you notice something in something that you didn't know before, and you see that they've got a particular way of dealing with a situation and they're gifted. If you've got a lot of money this morning, then you would know in the fellowship who to talk to. I don't know if that's Michael or somebody else, and you know people and you think they're trusted and you can ask their opinion because they're good with deposits. I don't know if anybody's got any gold. If you'd like to see me afterwards, then maybe we can help you with some of that. If you've got a bag of gold, my wife would love it. She's always telling me. She told me years ago that we should have invested in gold, and I didn't listen. And now I think gold is quite high, isn't it? Anybody invest in gold? Tell me afterwards. Don't show to apes. But we all have gifts, and we all see things in people, don't we? And people will say, oh, they're good at that. I recognise that in them. They're a great cook. They're a great chef. They're a great this. They're a great that. And you know where to go for advice. If I need advice on cooking or advice on where to put my money, I go to a financial advisor. I hope he knows what he's doing. And we do various things according to people's skills and talents. This is what was happening here. This is what was happening here. You see, if we listen to this, again, it will be like a man going on a journey, called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags, another 2 bags, and another 1 bag, each according to his ability. His ability. So the judgment was, is recognizing the ability in somebody and judging how much to give to that person to be able to be used. If you go into my second slide, it's a simple story. So remember, a parable, you know this because you've been doing it. So if I was to ask you, you'd say the same thing. It's a simple story to help understand something spiritual. That's why Jesus used to teach that way. He used to tell them different stories, didn't he? And they had a spiritual meaning, a heavenly meaning. So that's the way that Jesus liked to preach sometimes. Because sometimes a story is good, isn't it? Stories are powerful, aren't they? Stories are good because they're people's individual experience. And they're giving you a version of a story, a testimony, and it's powerful. Jesus is telling a story to back up a spiritual principle. So, what was involved in this story? See if you mark it out. So let's go through. There were 4 people, okay? Everybody agree? Remember? Servants, okay? One was given so many bags, another one and another one. So there are 4 people, 3 servants and a master. These are the characters in the story. Okay, several bags of gold, talents, the master's wealth. So the first thing that you notice here is that the master entrusted these servants with his wealth. Wow. I don't know how many of you servants you've got that you would trust with your wealth. Some people call them children. Don't know if it gets the grandchildren. But who would you entrust with your wealth? So, this is the story, let's go on. So the man was going on a journey, that's what we learnt. Okay, the man was going on a journey, he was going away, so he needed to entrust his servants with some responsibility. That was what he was doing. Carry on. The servants were going to look after his wealth. Pretty good. Okay, so the master trusted them, gave it dependent on their ability and their level of trust. Okay, carry on. They were being entrusted according to their ability. We said that. That's good. Okay, carry on. A long while passed. Now, I don't know how long in terms of months, in years, but maybe time just rolled on. Do you know, I remember before we were married, me and Ursula saying, I wonder if we will get married before God comes again. Before Jesus Christ comes again, I wonder if we'll actually get married. And then we would say, I wonder if we'll know what it's like to have children. And then I can remember we'd say, I wonder if we'll know the joy, I had to say joy, of grandchildren, because Simeon's here, and so the joy of grandchildren. And I remember wondering lots of things. But you know, as I look back and glance back over the last 40 plus years, I'm amazed. That's a long while. I remember the way that I used to look at people that were 50 plus. Now I think they're young. When I was here, I thought they were ancient. I have to be honest. But now I realise that they were young people trapped in an older body. You see, time goes on, doesn't it? A long while goes on. Things change. Things develop. And I don't know for these servants how they woke up every morning thinking, well, I would have been entrusted with this for the master and I need to be on my master's business. I need to make sure what the market's doing. I need to see if the Dow is only going up or down, whatever it is. But I need to make sure what the bank's lending rate is, what the Bank of England is saying. All of these things, these servants were engaged in looking after what they were entrusted to. And time moved on. So, a long while passed. And he arrived back to settle the books, to settle accounts with his servants. Well, I don't know about you, but that would have started to be, I'd have probably woken up thinking, I wonder if this is the day when we settle up. I wonder, I just need to make sure that the interest has been added on. I need to make sure that the gold value is whatever it is and things are looking pretty good. And this is the story. This is the story that Jesus was telling. So this was all going on, and you can imagine the different thoughts the servant had, the different ways in which they were engaged at trying to bring wealth and to make more of what the master had entrusted with them. They were investing. They were investing the gold. They were trying to get a bigger return. They were actively seeking to make sure that when the master came back, he would be pleased with their efforts. What have I been doing with what God's entrusted into my life? What's the talent or what's God put into my hands that I need to invest for his kingdom, for his glory, to honour God every day that I live? Do I even think like that? Do I even think that when I wake up, how am I going to honour God today? He's given everything for me. Did Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary? He laid down his life and he did it for me. How am I going to honour him in what I do today? And so we go on. There were various promotions that were offered. And we go on. And there were badges of well done, good and faithful servant. Badges that were being won at war. Come and share in my happiness. The master came back. He was delighted with the first two servants. And he gives them a badge of honour. He's pleased. And he says, his master, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Wow, what a lovely picture. What a lovely glowy picture. What a lovely smiling face that man must have had. His master was pleased. He was given a badge of honour. He was entrusted with even more. And the master said, come and share my happiness. Wow. That's good, isn't it? Don't know many financial advisors who do that. But that's great. That's great. But carry on. You see, in all that was going on, in settling the accounts, there was the element of judgment. You see, because the master was weighing up what they were doing according to their ability. He was weighing up, the master was weighing up the different things that were being done and had been done, and the return. So there was judgments. And then there was a redistribution of wealth. Remember the story? And then there was hell. Not a very nice story. Not a very nice parable. Didn't end particularly well for one of them. And let's just read that again. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seeds. Not saying that the master was like that, but this is what the man said. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the Woolwich or the Nationwide or whoever it is, with the bankers, so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. That's hard. Let's stop for a moment and ask ourselves a question. Okay. So, people will always say, I don't know what my gift is. If you said that, do you still say that? But we need to ask ourselves and stop for one moment and ask ourselves and ask us, what am I holding in my hands? Because you see, each one of us has something that's entrusted to you. If you have a home, if you have a meal when you go home, if you think just for a moment of everything that you have, that you call them your possessions, the things that you buy, the things that go to make up our home, all the things that God has enabled us to have and to enjoy. Let's stop there just for a moment. Do you share? Are you happy to share what God has given to you, to me? Am I willing to share? So if God has entrusted these things to me, so I have a home, I have things in the home, and God has entrusted these things and allowed me to have these things, then are they mine or are they his? Has he entrusted them with us? Am I going to be able to take them beyond the grave? No. You see, God has entrusted lots of things in terms of talents. And when you go back to that original translation for the word talents, it means what God's put into our hands. And they could be direct talents or things, abilities that God has uniquely given us. But the question is still the same. Everything that comes to you, God is entrusting them with you. Are you going to use them for his kingdom? Are you going to use your resources to bless someone? To make a difference in somebody else's life? You see, what we have, what we hold, has the ability to be fruitful. We can throw seeds. We can make seeds grow. You know, we can plant. We can sow an action. We can plant seeds and we hope that we will have Brussels sprouts for Christmas or whatever we're planting, and we're planting for Jesus Christ. Are we sowers this morning? Are we happy to be sowers in his kingdom? That we believe that God can bring the increase? We believe that things can be sown and there will be a harvest? Do you dare do that? Do you dare go down the road and smile at somebody or say good morning? Do you dare speak to your neighbours or your friends because you love Jesus Christ? Because you are holding something in your hand that they haven't. You know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and it was personal. It was for you. What are you holding in your hand this morning? What has God entrusted into your resource pack for life today? It's a sobering thing, isn't it? They were judged according to their ability, according to what they had invested, the way they had used what the Master had given and entrusted to them. Simi, come up and let's have a little chat with Simi.
Okay.
Now, Simi, I want you to be honest this morning in front of these people because they're all witnesses. Okay? So, Simi, what do you call me most mornings of the week when you come before you go to school?
A dinosaur?
You call me a dinosaur. So he brightly comes into our home in the morning and he says, "Hello, dinosaur." Is that right? Now, is that correct in front of these people here? Yes?
I don't know, maybe it's directions or connection, so maybe, I don't know, depends how you look at it.
Right, okay, but there, okay. So, anyway, this is the way that I'm greeted most mornings of the week. So, Simi, I want to ask you a couple of questions about something that happened in the summer. Okay, now, your parents wanted you to go to a camp. Is that right? A camp where you literally camped under canvas and I think it was right?
Yep.
So what kind of camp was this that your parents wanted you to go to?
That camp was New Day. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Explain it a little bit.
Okay, so it's basically a camp of like roughly like 10,000 other young people who all go there for like about 5 days in the summer. And we all go there to worship God and meet with Him. It's a really special place.
Okay, where is that?
That's Norfolk Showground.
Yeah, okay, Norfolk Showground. So, did you willingly go to this place? Were you delighted with your parents for saying this? Was it a joy?
No.
Did you want to go?
No.
Okay, and did you try to get out of it?
Many times.
Okay. So what happened?
So I thought I would be able to get out of it at first. I couldn't. Simple answer.
Good parenting.
And then I went there and honestly it's changed my life forever. The person that went into that camp was not the same person that came out of that camp. It changed my entire life. It flipped everything I ever thought or that I knew about God on its head. Everything changed from the moment I went to that camp. It was an amazing experience.
Excellent. And has that that's changed the way that you think? That's changed the direction of your life, would you say? And would you say that God and Jesus Christ are, how important are they to your day to day?
Extremely important. Since coming out of New Day, I've just been trying to take as many steps as I can to making Jesus more of the focus of my daily life. I've gone from reading the Bible in the evening when I feel like it, to reading it in both the morning and the evening. And I set up a Christian union in my high school. And I've just been fully focused on trying to think, what would Jesus do in different situations in my life that maybe they don't seem as important as they actually are? Because sometimes even the most insignificant things that you do in your life can impact somebody's day.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So it's made it interesting. So have you told your parents that now you would be delighted to go to camp again?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so that's lovely for now. So thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. The thing is, Simeon has a desire to speak for God. He's 14, going on 15. And we've noticed that God has given him a voice. And he's using it at school to try and bring others and starting up this Bible club. But he also asked me if he can come out with me sometimes and share what God's doing in his life. And the thing is, when God's given you a gift and a talent, you have a decision to make. You have to decide whether you're going to honour God or you're going to just let it fizzle out. And the thing is, again I ask, what has God entrusted into your hands? So, what are you holding? Just go back to that slide just for a second. How are you using it for the kingdom of God? You know, sometimes when we actually sit down and just ponder for a while, it feels a little bit uncomfortable, doesn't it? You see, life may be short, it may be a little bit longer. But if every day our focus is honouring God and trying to please Him, if we're trying to respond to the Holy Spirit's leading and prompting when He asks us to speak into a situation or whatever, and then every now and again, it's a little bit uncomfortable, but it's worth it. Let's move on quickly. So we have a journey and a master who was away for a long time. And the one thing is that he promised he would return. You see, the linkage of the parable is that the master is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. And then he went up into heaven after being with the disciples for a while after the resurrection. But we have a promise that one day he's coming and returning. So we know that Jesus Christ is a returning King. And one day we will all stand before him. So there's going to be a day when accounts will be settled. And the whole emphasis of these some of these parables, the parables of the 10 virgins, the sheep and the goats that you've got to come. All of these parables talk about decisions that will be made. We have a day to settle. Judgment according to how we invested, what we were given or trusted with. The servant was called lazy. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. Knowing who I was, knowing all that I had entrusted with you, you still acted in a certain way." You see, God has given us a life to enjoy, hasn't he? To live to the full. And he wants us to live that life. Live the life that he's given to you. And we need to live it every day, knowing and entrusting that day into God's care. And we never know where it's going to lead, because that's the unique thing. When we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we've entrusted our lives into his hands, and he's entrusted back to us. We have a life to be lived. Are you living your life for the King of Kings this morning? Are you living your life knowing what is entrusted into your care? Your resources, your giftings, are you using them for him? Or are you burying them? Are you not paying any attention to them? You see, the thing is, when God gives you a gift, I've seen my daughter start to paint. And I remember what she was like over here. And I remember what she was producing over here. And now, months and a few years later, I can see the improvement. I can see the development of the gift that she has. Because when you use a gift like that, the gifting grows. When we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ to our neighbours and our friends, when we get the courage to share it at school or with other people, then the gifting grows. The courage grows. Our faith grows because we dare to trust God. We live in a mixed up world, a messed up generation. And yet, in the midst of all of that, God's. And if you know him, if you know him, if you know the answer to life, if you are following him, then you have a direction and a focus that most of the people outside of these walls know nothing about. You have something to share. You have something to give. And it's precious. It's a bag of gold that you're holding for him. And you can go and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and the difference that he can make into your life, into your day, into the rest of your life, however long you live. So, time has come to an end. Let's move on. Think about this the rest of the day. What has God given to us? Salvation, undeserved grace. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, a hope and a future. The Holy Spirit to help us to navigate the now, a talent and gift you use uniquely to you. Resources. Let's move forwards. The talents represent any kind of resource we have. Time, gift, resources generally, skills, talents, abilities. But the question is, where are we investing in? That's tricky. Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with very much. Have you heard the expression, if you look after the pennies, the pounds will what?
Look
after themselves. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. And carrying forwards. 1 Corinthians, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God that is at work. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully. Wow. We've rocketed through those verses and through these things. I pray that God will challenge us, each one of us, as we ask ourselves the question, what has God put into your hands? And what are you doing with what God has entrusted into your care? Let's just stand before we sing our final song together. We're going to be singing On That Day. Let's just close our eyes just for a few moments. God is here. His Holy Spirit is speaking to us, each one unique. Father, if there is anyone here that has never given their lives to you, never come to you in repentance and faith, never thanked you, Lord Jesus, for going to the cross for them, then I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will just draw those ones to you this morning. Help them to know how loved they are. if you're not sure what you're holding in your hand, if you're not sure of the gift or talent that God has given to you, then ask Him. If you don't think you're using the resources that God has entrusted into your care in a right way, or you know that you need to change, then that's between you and God. Sort it out. So let's sing.